now Bill Lawrence is sitting down with us here. Bill is the current Greene County
legislator
from Cara with Harry Lennon. And how long have you been legislator? It seems like forever.
Let's see. They were the dinosaurs had just gone extinct. And I was thinking, what should I do now with this empty space that I have? So, I got elected in 1980.
Mr. Hempstead was telling us that they found the dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs in Cara.
Right up here in Cara.
Right off 145.
You'll see my footprints up there. But no, I was the legislator from 1980 to 1986. Then I ran for town supervisor, town of Cara. And then right after that, I retired for about 5 years and then got back into the legislature about 1995 again. And I've been there ever since. So.
And how has the legislature changed since 1980?
In 1980, when I first ran, it was very much of a kind of a closed group. I mean, there was a very, very big division between Democrats and Republicans. And as of 2012, and for maybe a little bit earlier, I think we've become more of a conscientious group concerning the needs of Greene County. Less political, more public. So I think it's improved tremendously in terms of their outlook, their vision, and where they want to see Greene County go.
So as the rest of the country has gotten more divisive and split up, Greene County politics have gotten better.
Exactly, because the fact that I'm majority leader, Harry Lennon, my colleague right here in Cara, is the minority leader. It makes for a very easy connection between us, and he's easy to talk to, I'm easy to talk to, and people, if they have concerns, can reach either one of us, and we're willing to bring it to the floor. And I don't see the kind of negative issues that we used to have years ago confront us as they did back then. So the issues today are bigger. They're financial. They're more global in terms of needs that have to be, needs that have to be met, so that everybody in Greene County is some sort of benefit from it, and less individual now. Each legislator is working as a group, more as a group, less as an individual.
So do you represent Cara specifically?
I'm in District 8, the town of Cara, and we're reapportioned. We used to be reapportioned every 10 years, and I've been in Cara, Cara-Durham, Cara-Catskill, Cara, and now Cara has a weighted vote. So every legislator has a weighted vote for their district, so the districts will remain the same from now on.
Okay.
But I do represent Cara for voting purposes, but I represent the county in terms of the nature of the board.
But with a little favoritism towards Cara, maybe.
Always for Cara, that's correct. Cara is the heart of this county, and I think it deserves as much as they can get from the county in terms of appreciation,
yeah.
Because we certainly do take... I think we're the bellwether for what's going on in Greene County. I mean, we got the industrial development in Coxsackie, and in the mountaintop, we've got the strong tourism skiing, and that kind of. And Cara is sort of in between all that. It's a good place to start if you're going to go anywhere in Greene County.
Okay, now, I'm not sure if you can answer me this question or not, but sales tax, for instance, sales tax that's spent in Greene County.
Correct.
Does 4% of that belong to Greene County?
Right. The sales tax is 8% right now. 4%
right.
Goes to the state of New York, because they always have their hand out, and then the other 4% goes to Greene County. And our sales tax has remained relatively stable. It's improving. It's not strong like it used to be, because I think people are being more conscientious about where they spend their money. They're less, it's less discretionary income and more, concerned about fuel, oil, gasoline, mortgages, and taxes. But the sales tax amount for Greene County has been good. I mean, we use it for a quarter of our budget.
Right.
So 25% of our budget is based on sales tax income.
But I don't think that the consumer out there is aware of the fact that when he spends his money in Greene County, he's saving himself money on taxes.
Exactly.
Whereas if he goes and buys the exact same product across the river in Hudson, Columbia County gets all
that's correct.
Sales tax. And if he goes to Albany,
they get it.
And if he goes to Kingston, whatever Kingston is in, they get all the money.
So I
think the Greene County should stress that a little, that the sales tax...
They had that Buy in Greene campaign for a long time, stressing that.
I know, but I don't think I have it anymore.
No, they still have it. As a matter of fact, I was just going to bring it up. Tom mentioned the Buy in Greene, which we called Think Big, B-I-G, Buy in Greene. And that was was a program started by our former chairman, Mr. Wayne Spienberg, who unfortunately passed away recently. But it was an initiative to get people to buy in Green Canada for the very reasons Tony points out, that the sales tax of items purchased in Green County goes to Green County.
Yeah.
So if you go to Albany or to Hudson or to Kingston and you buy materials, refrigerators, clothing or whatever is taxable,
right,
that money stays in those counties and it does not benefit anybody.
None
in Green.
Of it, not a penny of it comes back to Green.
I always dissuade people from going to Hudson to buy gasoline because you not only have to cross the bridge to get to Hudson, you pay $1 or $1.50 to do that, but the sales tax that you spend on the gasoline in Hudson goes to Hudson. It does not go to Green County.
You're
losing two ways.
I never even thought of that about the gasoline, but you know, I thought about it with the large products like a refrigerator or whatever. If you buy it in Catskill, the sales tax is local, and so does the money.
That's correct, and except for cars. Now, if you buy a car in Kingston or Albany, sales tax comes back to Green County.
Right, and I know Mr. Flynn in Catskill encourages people to register vehicles there. If you get it
Mike
in the
Flynn,
mail.
Green County clerk.
Town clerk,
yeah.
Our county clerk.
He tells you that even if you get it in the mail, bring it in to them,
right,
and they make some money out of it.
Because if you send it to Albany, they get that $6 or $12 fee, which Green County would have gotten.
Right. So,
he's done a tremendous job of keeping people
aware
in Green County.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to us, remember, you could be saving yourself some money on your tax bill next year because you re-registered your car in Kelsey.
I agree 100%. You're exactly
and
right.
You bought a refrigerator or whatever, or even your gasoline in Green County.
Gasoline, especially, because most everybody uses gasoline one form or another, and if you buy it locally, it might be a few cents higher priced, but you're saving in the long run because that gas money sales tax goes to reduce your tax liability.
Well I know of somebody who lives almost over in East Durham, and he comes all the way down to South Caro because he's saving 2 cents a gallon on the gas.
I don't care if he comes to Caro, that's good.
No, but he...
Is he burning it off getting there?
He wears $5
in his tires, right?
To save 10 cents.
Yeah, well, that's the way people think sometimes.
Right.
You can't fault him for trying to save a few bucks.
Yes, economically, right. Saving shillings and spending pounds.
So we're asking Ted before about government trying to help foster economic development in a town, and the town supervisor's kind of limited role in that. That seems like at the county level, you can do more in those terms.
Yeah, Green County and the towns, especially Carroll, they're trying to revitalize their image, and it's been tough because a lot of main streets have gone the way of the dinosaur. We were speaking of dinosaurs earlier, and people want to go to malls, they want to go to big shopping centers, but the main street revitalization is an important aspect of keeping business in town and also keeping people employed. Small business owners and small business employees are the mainstay of all of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony knows because he's in small business, so he knows what's going on.
Especially Green County, besides the prison, large employers.
The county's a large employer, the prisons are a large employer. You might have the few companies on 9W that are larger employers, but again, the mainstay is a small business owner. Whatever we can do to help them should be done. Buying Green was that initiative. We also have an Invest in Green now. We're trying to get people to come into Green County, invest in a small business. We'll help them out with a business plan. We'll help them out with our Quantum Fund or our microenterprise loans. We'll try to give them as much a step forward as we can without actually going into business with them. But I do think that Main Street Cairo needs to be revitalized. And I know the Chamber of Commerce has began a series of meetings where they're trying to get input as to what can be done to make Cairo more attractive. And Ted is part of that. And I think that what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to get everybody on the same theme. It might be a theme in terms of, a particular model, or it might be a theme in terms of functions that we can do in the future. But until we get together as a group and believe that Carroll is a good place to live, which I believe it is, we're never going to get over the paradigm of Carroll's got nothing to do to offer. It's a bit, it's got seedy Main Street. It's not a good place to live. It's a great place to live. It's just that it's not, the perception is bad at this point. And I think that's true for many Main Streets.
I guess the perception, too, too, is that the county sort of helps Coxsackie and helps the resorts on the mountain, and Caro and Greenville are a little overlooked in that.
Right. And I think that comes from the fact that the IDA, the Industrial Development Agency, can help large commercial establishments. And if Caro were to go into that particular line of development, that the IDA would be glad to help. Right now, the big warehouses on 9W were because the IDA gave them tax incentives, and they also were able to have the land shovel ready. Caro, right now, we're looking for expanding water and sewage, and until you do that appropriately and make sure that the businesses already here have that ability, it's going to be tough to do IDA kind of
stuff. And the county did that previously in Coxsackie with those parks. They put the sewer in, right?
Right.
Ready to go.
We collaborated with the town of Coxsackie, and we made a deal with them to expand their sewage and their water, and that's the way the companies were able to come in. Didn't have to put any kind of money or hearings or reviews, environmental reviews. That's already been done for them, so they're going to say, yeah, I want to jump at that.
And the reason they picked that area is because of the access to the highway and the trains and the power
exactly,
to it.
Right. It has nothing to do with not liking Caro or the mountaintop. It has to do with facilities, infrastructure. And the mountaintop has the skiing. They have the beautiful locations up, up at the mountaintop. Caro and Durham and all the other towns that are in the middle, so to speak, have their attractions too. It's just that we have to promote them more.
Well, East Durham, for instance, has really gone down in...
I tell you, when I first came here, I moved here in 1969, East Durham was jumping.
Yeah.
I mean, you could not drive up through Main Street of East Durham without having somebody jump in front of you because they were crossing the road back and forth. Now, a few years later, a lot of years later, you could throw a rock up Main Street East Durham. You couldn't hit a person because of the fact that the particular attraction back then has gone away. And that's when people were going to establish resorts and enjoying themselves for a week, 4 days. Now they're traveling all over the world, so it's made a big difference.
Yeah, well, every weekend in East Durham at that time was like a festival.
It was a madhouse.
Yeah, and now they're down to about four a year, and they happen to have one this weekend. I'm just mentioning it.
Which one's that now?
They're having
Gavin's, right?
No, a mini Irish Arts Week again.
Where
just for the 3 days, where they're bringing in crack teachers to teach dancing and musical instruments, and they're having a big concert in the Shamrock on Saturday night, which will be all traditional. Woman's Night.
Good.
Some great musical players who are all female will be performing on Saturday night, and they all live in Westchester and New York City and in certain areas, and they're very
and that's their niche too, because as you know, because you're a well known Irish music player in WGXC, and I think your attraction is because there are so many people who like that kind of music, like that kind of belief that the Irish
are still alive. During the Irish Arts Week, people just gather on the street and literally create their own band.
Right, exactly.
Tom and I were over in the Blackthorn 4 or 5 years ago when it was on, and we convinced these two musicians to play on the thing. One of them was the Ilum pipe player, and the other guy played the guitar or whatever, and one sang and the other played it. And about 5 nights later or 5 days later or whatever, they were a group. These two guys who came on as singles, and they were now a group. They were actually a band, and they have performed together many, many times since. So that was the kind of things that were happening over there, and it was great for the area. And Tom was there many times with me. And
because you're living proof that the phenomenon of Irish music and lifestyle is something that you can make an income on.
Yeah, and you talk to people up here who are Jewish, Italian,
every
nationality. They worked in Gavin's or they worked somewhere, and they had Irish friends who got them in for a drink when nobody else could get them in.
So I think if they were to, and I think they're trying to promote that more to make it that's where I was sorry to see they didn't get the Irish Museum, because I think New York State made a big mistake by going somewhere else with that.
Yeah.
East Durham was the place. Yeah, in Albany.
Memorial Weekend this year, they claimed they had about 7,000, over the 2-day period, about 7,000 more people than last year.
Wow.
Which is a huge, maybe could get it back again to something, but I again get getting back to Cairo, downtown Cairo. I don't know whether you want to call it downtown or uptown. That's terrible.
No, I mean, it needs nothing. Work. I agree.
As I said, there's the little restaurant, the post office, and myself taking up the whole end of the street.
Yeah. And the trouble is that a lot of people, as you just said before, they'll go somewhere else for minor things. Why not go to your store? Why not go to their local, Cozy Cup Cafe for coffee instead of going to...
And then I have this phenomenon outside my store. The one lousy parking spot I have in front of my store is the most popular spot on the whole street. People actually park in front of my store at night and then the whole next day. And they live two blocks away. But they feel that the car is safe in front of my store, that nobody will bother it.
Yeah.
That's great fun the next day when I have a truck coming in with a delivery. But we need more business.
I think the Chamber of Commerce is working on that, trying to come up with a plan that, as I told them that night, I've been through many of these groups which want to revitalize or start something new. They meet once or twice, then they stop meeting because it's a very hard issue to get people involved with and to make corrections. It takes time. You can't do it overnight. And you get the right plan, you get the right people behind it, you'll get it done.
Are you in favor of the zoning in Cairo?
I am in favor of zoning. I think the problem that arose with the town of Cairo is that the zoning was so restrictive in most people's minds. And as Greenville found out, because they had to revise theirs recently, it's better if you start out simple and then make it more complicated instead of starting out complicated and trying to make it more simple. It doesn't work as easily.
It certainly would not.
I think the town of Cairo, the zoning is important. We talked about it for years, and I do believe that we want to make sure there's some sort of control as to where business is located, what people do with their residences. However, I happen to agree that a simple plan would have been far better to start with instead of trying to, and now they're talking about amending it now. It's always harder to do that once the calf falls into the well. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the funny thing about the whole thing is it has gone on for, how many years has it gone on? Probably before I came here.
Since 8 years, I think he said.
Yeah, probably close to a decade, yes.
Yeah, and I bet the people who were on the planning board then, if you asked them to vote the first day, they probably would have voted the same as they did last week. So why waste 8 years on it?
People need to be heard.
Yeah, and zoning around here in Greene County, it's been a very contentious issue because people hear zoning and they think they hear control. Somebody's going to control what I do in my house. That's not true. I mean, it's just a matter of keeping industrial, commercial, residential sort of separate from each other so that you don't have a big nasty, or I shouldn't say nasty, but a big complex building things next to you, making noise, bringing trucks in, bringing trucks out, so you can live and enjoy the quality of life that you're entitled to.
Oh, yeah.
I go back to your X-rated theater story from before.
Yeah. Well, we didn't put that on the air.
Right. We were off the air.
Some towns have that problem, right?
With the X-rated stores? This guy down in Long Island, nobody was supporting his movie theater, so he put in an application to put in an X-rated store, and everybody was up in arms. And he asked them how often they came to his theater, and it was proved they didn't support him. Now they support him, and 25 years later, he's still doing
work.
Yeah. But he put it in as he put in as a kind of a joke, but he was serious for 4 or 5 months, making it seem like he wanted to do it.
So now they support him.
Well, 800 people showed up at the night of the vote.
So what is the legislature going to be working on this year?
Okay, Greene County Legislature. Again, we have a new chairman, Kevin Lewis, who's very easy to deal with. And in terms of public safety, which I'm the chair of, we're working on the new possibility of a new jail in Greene County.
Where?
Which, right down in Coxsackie. Only because the state of New York has given us 50 acres of property down there, right next to the Coxsackie Correctional. 50 acres of property they did not charge us for. They gave it to us. All we have to do is do the environmental on it. So if things...
And the old jail needs to be...
The old jail is over 100 years old. It is like a medieval location for a movie. It's poorly, well, right now it's poorly.
Filming horror movies in there when it closes?
You could do that now, and that would be a normal lifestyle for these poor correctional officers in there. I mean, nothing to do with the prisoners. I know a lot of people think, why build a new jail for prisoners? They don't deserve it, but really it's the people who work there that you want to try to improve. Plus the fact that we're spending close to $2 million a year sending our prisoners to other counties. Talk about sales tax. We're spending more by boarding out prisoners than we are if we were to keep them in our own facility and have our own correction officers earning a living based on that same money. Why should we send it to Columbia, Albany, or to Schoharie County, or Kingston?
And this new facility might be large enough that you actually get income from other counties shipping their inmates here?
That idea was approached, we broached that idea, but the thing is, so many counties have gone that way. They've overbuilt, and we're not trying to do that. We just want to make sure we can handle whatever prisoners we have of our own. If there's space and we can bring in a prisoner or two, we will certainly do that, but we're not looking to make any money other than save money that we're spending right now out of county.
We just have a minute left. We're talking to Bill Lawrence, who is running for re-election as a Greene County legislator. Anything else you need to tell people about the election?
No, I think I always impress upon people the fact that they should go out and vote. They don't have to vote for me, but they should go out and vote for whoever they think will do a good job for them, whether it's a county, town, or village level. And I do appreciate WGXC. I was a longtime programmer with the radio station. I think they do an exceptional job of getting to local events like this. And the time that you give me today is very much appreciated. Thanks.
Do you have any signs? You don't have a sign, do you?
All my yard signs are out already.
Oh, you do have yard signs.
I have 21 of them, to be exact.
Say, you don't have many of them.
No, I don't have many.
You're always reelected, and I've never seen a sign.
But I do have handout cards. We're going door-to-door right now. I love going door-to-door. You meet the people. Sometimes they like you. Sometimes they don't. But it's the best way to let people know that you're running for office.
Yeah, it's good to hear from what people want to, what you want you to do if you get elected.
The other day, Dan Joyce and I were out campaigning, and we went to one guy's door, knocked on it, and we said, "Hi, I'm Bill Lawrence. It's Dan Joyce. We're running for office." He goes, "I don't like politicians. Get out of here. I'm going to vote for Trump."